She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, but we certainly do want you to think. Our show is made possible due to the generous support of Habitat for Humanity Tucson. Their mission? Creating a more compassionate and just world that brings people together to build homes, communities, and hope. And I have witnessed that for Habitat in many places around the country, and we appreciate their support. If you've ever participated in a home build, you know exactly what I mean. They're making an impact on the planet. So let's get on with the show, and I'm just going to absolutely ask everyone to press pause, take a deep breath, and get really focused on what we're going to be talking about today. It's a new page in Mrs. Green's World book that I hope many will be written about. It's more in the social justice arena, which to me is an integral part of the definition of sustainability and having a sustainable and just planet. So without further ado, the name of our show today, as you may have read on the website, Brownies, People, Profit, Planet, which in our world is known as the triple bottom line. Our guest for this next hour is Jonathan Greengrass. And Jonathan, you just have to love that name. I mean, my name's Gina Murphy, darling, and I'm sure this is the first time you've gotten that, but I wanted to be the first to point it out.
Thank you.
It's just a great name. Vice President of Development and PR for Grayston, the country's leading social enterprise since 1982. The things that I get to find out about, Grayston has provided individuals in Southwest Yonkers, New York, and remember, I'm a Jersey girl, so I know where it is, with employment skills and resources to lift them out of poverty. And I would add, lift them out and, for the most part, keep them out. I'm going to be doing a lot of editorial comments here, Jonathan. You might say, why doesn't she just be quiet? And I want to do the show. Grayston's unique combination of open hiring, which I cannot wait for Jonathan to explain, at the world-famous Grayston Bakery, pathmaking and other social services offers a roadmap to help individuals and families in visualizing their own path to self-sufficiency. It's not Grayston telling them what their next big dream is. They're guiding them to help visualize their own future. Our mindfully rooted philosophy, theirs, I took this from the website, your mindfully rooted philosophy fuels a commitment to human growth and potential. And, you know, I don't want to gloss over those words, a commitment to human growth. For some of the population that you work with, they're not thinking about human growth a lot of times or their potential. And you are addressing some of the most challenging problems facing our society today. And I so believe that. I'm thrilled to have you with us, Jonathan, for making this an intentional company. And I would love you to start sharing the story with you. I have lots of questions.
Terrific. I'm really thrilled to be here. Thank you so much.
It's going to be great. First of all, the thing that shocks me, it was over 35 years ago, and I now, with all of the Black Lives Matter issues and the horrible things that we're finding out in the media, it's become a lot more topical. 35 years ago, can you explain your tagline and kind of weave into the history? We don't hire people to bake brownies. We bake brownies to hire people.
You know, I couldn't tell the story without telling the story of our founder, who was an incredible man named Bernie Glassman. And he was a aerospace engineer out in California and a practicing Buddhist, and he decided that he was not on the path that he wanted to be, and that's a word we use a lot, the idea of path. And he came back to New York and took over the Zen Buddhist sect, which was then in the Riverdale section of the Bronx, and started to take that sect over. And in the building which they owned, which was a big mansion actually, there was a huge commercial kitchen. And Bernie had what was then a kind of a earth-shattering idea, which was to combine the idea of Zen Buddhism with social action.
You are kidding.
And no one had done that in the past. And at the time, homelessness was a very visible and a big problem in the New York City area. And Bernie came at that with a very simple premise that was, if you give a person a job, you put them on the road to living a self-sustaining life. And he started to invite homeless individuals into the mansion, and in the commercial kitchen they began to bake cakes and pies, which they would sell to the highest, you know, rated restaurants in the New York City area and Bloomingdale's and other, and they would pass them off as their own. And they were really delicious, and they got an incredible reputation for their work. Bernie soon realized after that that providing a job was one of three key components to providing someone, to putting them on the path to that self-sustaining life, when affordable housing was the next component and child care. Eventually, he moved the entire enterprise just a few miles north of Riverdale into the southwest corner of Yonkers, which is an area that has been plagued by homelessness and unemployment and significant issues for many, many decades, and we've been here for the past 28 years.
Like, I can't even breathe. Seriously, this guy, I'm telling you, I'm trying to write things down while I'm listening to your story, and he had the answer for something that's still plaguing us today, and I guess what frustrates me is that is the answer.
Bernie was and remains a true visionary. He's still actively involved. He's not actively involved in the organization, but he is still quite involved with us. He's on our Wisdom Council. He visits frequently. But he spends his time traveling around the world and spreading, you know, the issues that he's still currently dealing with.
Right, really getting the word out about what was possible. How did it get the name Greyston?
You know, funny story, and not one that's particularly interesting. The mansion that they were in was the Greyston Mansion.
Okay.
And, you know, it's very simple. I wish it was a better story.
But it's good to know. That's good.
It is good to know.
Makes perfectly good sense.
The real key to our success over the years, in many ways, has been a partnership that Bernie developed some 28 years ago with Ben Greenfield and Jerry Cohen.
I know your brownies are in Ben and Jerry's.
That's right. I assume everyone who's listening will understand that is the Ben and Jerry of Ben and Jerry's ice cream. And they met each other at a conference of something called the Social Venture Network.
Which is
a bit of an umbrella organization.
I know SVN. I just went to their conference a couple months ago. I'm going to get off the phone and tell Deb Nelson. I kid you not.
I mean, Deb, you know, she's thrilled. We're one of their huge success stories.
Oh, my gosh.
Because we met at that conference, and Bernie and Ben and Jerry said, we like what you're doing. And, you know, Bernie said, we like what you're doing. Let's do something together. And they decided to make an ice cream sandwich where we would bake the cookie part or the brownie part, and they would put the pieces together in their factory. So Bernie said yes to that and came back to the factory, which was an old spaghetti factory that had been converted into a bakery. And they set aside and they started to make these brownies, and they sent, you know, 50 pounds of brownies up to Vermont, not knowing how to pack them or what to do with them. And by the time they got to Vermont, they had congealed into one huge, humongous brownie.
Oh, no.
And Ben and Jerry being Ben and Jerry said, well, we're not going to waste this. Let's chop it up and throw it into chocolate fudge ice cream, and thereby creating chocolate fudge brownie ice cream, which has been one of their top four or five sellers for the past 28 years. And as Ben and Jerry's has grown, so has our business. It's not a typical vendor relationship. They are truly partners with us. We think very, very highly of everything they do at Ben & Jerry's. And in fact, if you buy a package of chocolate fudge brownie ice cream, which I hope all of your listeners will do now.
Got it. I put it on the list.
The story of Greyston is actually on the side of their package. So it's truly a partnership that has benefit both of us for many, many years.
No kidding. And the fact that it happened at SVN, I talked to Deb last week, and I've only been once, and now I'm like a SVN Moonie and or Goonie, and just really want to be a part of that incredibly forward-thinking energy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It gave me hope for the world, because my shows can be pretty sad about what's going on the planet. And I'm like, no, there's SVN and Bali, so we're all going to be okay. We'll talk about the process of open hiring. I think that is unique. And can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. Sure. Open hiring is our key that differentiates Grayston from other companies and other programs around the world. It is our belief that anybody can work who wants to. And so what happens is that we have a bakery in again, the southwest corner of Yonkers, which is a tough neighborhood.
Yes.
And you can walk in there and put your name on a sign-up sheet. And when we hire, and as we do, as we grow or as people move on, we call people on a first-come, first-served basis. And there's no background checks. There's no applications. All people have to do is demonstrate a willingness to work and to work hard, and they're given an opportunity, and they can start on that first day. There's a significant amount of training involved, which we provide. There are also support services, enabling people to be successful and traverse some of the issues that can come with holding down a successful job. But really, it's all about giving people an opportunity to be successful.
And, you know, the part that is just keeps coming up for me, and I'm going to go back to SVN, and I'm really glad you brought it up in some of the presentations there, which is what has gotten me so hot on the trail to expand the message of the radio show, is if you are in prison for 20 years for possession of a firearm under the three times you're out law in California, and you come out, you're not trained for anything.
Right.
Like this one guy who made me cry, like two boxes of tissues, said, you know, I was with my dad. I was 20 years old, and I hadn't shot anybody, but I was in possession of a firearm. We weren't even involved in a crime, and I'm 42, and I've been in prison since I was 20. And, of course, it was all the good news about an SVN program that's helping him. But when you talk about, is this what comes under your rubric or your name, path making, and what is involved in that? Is that where you help people visualize and make their path come true?
That's exactly right. So pathmaking is a holistic program. It's both a program and a service at Grayston, where we meet with all of our employees on a one-on-one basis, and we have a director of pathmaking. And the goal there is to sit down with people and help them figure out where they want to go in their life, and then to figure out what are the barriers to making that happen, and then working with them to overcome those barriers.
And can you think of, like, I was thinking about it when I was preparing for the interview. So if someone said, I love this so much, and I have a cousin in Oakland, and I want to go and open a Grayston there and do it, is that possible? Do you like that? Do people help?
So that is actually, what you've touched on is really kind of the next iteration of the Grayston history. And we're working towards that right now, which is the idea of sitting down with, hopefully, with some funders that we're starting to talk to.
Right, right.
And codifying exactly what it is that we do and how we do it.
Right.
So that we can actually start to go out and consult with organizations, for-profit businesses, nonprofits that want to have a similar model to what we do, and then help them put that into place.
And you know, you think about the last 30 years. Has there ever been a more important time? I mean, from where I sit, no. I'm going to be 65. I was a hippie. We had the Vietnam War riots. But to me, things are really bubbling up, and programs like yours are ever more critical to help with the shift to right things happening.
We couldn't agree more. I mean, this organization has been around for a while, but the interest in what we're doing and how we're doing it has never been stronger. And we are actually looking, because of that, people are approaching us daily, if not weekly,
right,
on how they can replicate this in other locations. So
right,
we're trying to figure out how we can do that and still be successful with what we're doing.
I know, and it's a challenge. I mean, I think about Bernie Glassman and what he wanted, incorporating the whole Buddhist philosophy. And once you expand from that and start having little other places, it becomes harder. At SVN, we heard from Paul from Zingerman's in, you know, up in Minnesota, I think, in Michigan. And he talked about those changes. He has a hugely successful deli, and they got offered, you know, to be franchised. And all the partners looked at each other and said, how can we be franchised and keep what we have? So they went wide instead of deep. You know, they opened a bakery company and a cheese shop and all that stuff. But it creates certain challenges, especially with your core values that have been an integral part of your success.
Absolutely.
So how do you go about doing workforce development?
So workforce development is a key component of, if you think about Grayson,
right.
It's one organization, but there really is a for-profit, which is the bakery, and then
right.
There is a nonprofit that provides a wide array of social services in the community, and one of those is workforce development, which, of course, is available for people at the bakery as well. But a job at our bakery, you know, it's a hard job, and it is a job, and because of the idea of pathmaking, you know, it's not right for everybody.
Right.
So we think it's very important to offer other opportunities in the community, and we do that through our workforce development program, which trains 100 to 150 people a year in a wide range of job industries. Specifically, we only target industries where we know that there is potential for hiring, and then we do a kind of a classic training on both the hard skills necessary to be successful in that industry and the soft skills necessary to be successful in life.
And work with other businesses, partner with other businesses that are open
to this.
We do.
We try and partner
right?
as much as we can with businesses throughout Westchester County, which is where Yonkers is based.
I know. That's a really... When I was there with Steve Ritz, the Green Bronx Machine, in... I guess October of 2013, and we were riding all around the Bronx, and we went over to Harlem, and it's kind of, you know, Riverside County has it all. It's kind of all ends of the spectrum, from the very rich to the very poor.
Yes, and we work specifically in an area of real disenfranchising.
Yeah, yeah. What do you, one of the things on your website that you provide, which I was really thinking about as well, having been there, being a Jersey girl, how do you provide low-income housing? Is that one of your biggest challenges? Because there's so many...
It really has. We started, the low-income housing world has changed substantially since we began 30-some-odd years ago, and it has become very, very expensive to be in the low-income affordable housing world. Challenges along the lines of once people start to work, they can literally, it can cost them more to work than it can cost them to stay on social services. And that's, I think, a problem throughout the affordable housing world. So it is a constant challenge to balance that.
Full-time job, that could be the one of the things. I'm not kidding. What about, I mean, I agree with Bernie. I'm an old social service. I had, you know, a company that managed large volume social service companies all over the country, and childcare. Let's talk about childcare, because it's so important to have good childcare and after school programs to end cycles. What kind of things do you do with that, and how do you, this may sound crass, but how do you even afford to offer these things? Because childcare is expensive. Good after school programs
are expensive.
There are
some programs here in Westchester County for working parents that subsidizes their work. The vast majority of the children in our child care center are people whose parents are on or work with the Department of Social Services. And we have actually recently become part of Head Start, which is a federal program, which is
yes.
terrific. Because one of the issues that we've always had is to be successful in child care, you need to be able to leave your child there on a continual basis for months, if not years, until they're ready for school. But the reality has been that if you don't keep up with the responsibilities necessary through DSS, the Department of Social Services,
right.
You end up having to yank your child out of child care, and we had a lot of transient population because of that. With Early Head Start, which is a federal program coming in, everyone has finally begun to understand the importance of child care and keeping a child in child care for a long period of time, and we have just started that. We're very, very excited. That we can now keep children between the ages of 6 weeks and 3 years in full-time child care for the entire time, regardless of what their parents are doing. And we really feel that education is the key to unlocking many of the issues in a neighborhood.
Pretty much all of it. I mean, beginning, middle, and end, if you get a better education, you are planning your way out and being able to break the cycle of poverty. And I just, don't get me started on Head Start. It's like, I say to people when Head Start gets cut, oh, they're cutting something that's a proven success. That's a good idea. Let's see if we can find something that doesn't work and try it for about 5 years. So anyway, We have to take a break. It's 20 minutes in, and we will be... I know, it went really fast. Everybody, please stay here with us. There's lots more good stuff to learn about Greystone from Jonathan Greengrass, Vice President of Development and PR. Stay here with us. Lots more good stuff.
Join us for a new Mrs. Green's World episode every Saturday at 12 noon Arizona time at MrsGreensWorld.com. All of our past shows are available as on-demand podcasts at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device using the Igloo radio app. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. We are a proud member of the Dream Vision 7, Glimmer Glass, Green Radio Divas, Blog Talk, and Speak Up Radio Networks. If you have questions or comments about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. More Mrs. Green's World next.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. The name of our show today is Brownies, People, Profit, Planet, the triple bottom line. Our guest this hour is Jonathan Greengrass, Vice President of Development and PR for Greystone, the country's leading social enterprise since 1982. And I just love to say that Greystone has provided individuals in Southwest Yonkers, New York, with employment skills and resources to lift them out of poverty. In most cases, I would say forever. I would also like to mention that Greystone is a social enterprise that makes a difference. I want to underscore social enterprise that makes a difference. They are proud to be the first certified benefit or B Corp in New York City, proud to make over 4 million pounds of baked goods by bakers on a mission, not just bakers, and proud to serve over 2,500 residents annually. They are truly making a difference every day, and that benefits the whole world. Can you tell that I am thrilled to be doing a program about social justice in action, Jonathan?
I think we're going to put you on our PR staff. You're doing such a great job.
I think I would be honored. I mean, if you ever put together a national board, certainly think of me.
The only thing I would like to add, if it's okay, is that we could ask your listeners to visit us at Greystone.org or Greystone.com, because not only are our brownies available in Ben & Jerry's ice cream and throughout Whole Foods markets, but people can order them directly on our website.
And I have that
anywhere in
there.
The U.S.
Yes.
And they make a great present and a great statement about supporting the issues of social justice, but also having a delicious product at the same time.
We're talking about guilt-free brownie eating here, people.
That's exactly right.
You are doing
something. You feel
something
better after you eat one of these.
Yes, I feel good for the world, and there is not an ounce of this that is going to show up anywhere in my body. And I said to you that I did three shows this week, pre-recorded, because I have to. We can't wait to go on vacation next week. It's very hot here in Arizona. And I didn't think ahead of time. I always get the author's book. Why didn't I order the darn brownies so I could be saying I'm having them as we speak? I really, really and truly want to have some Greystone brownies. It sounds like it's magic. Okay. I lost my train of thought, but anyway, let's talk about, I do have lots more notes. I'm very, very ready. Impact on the community. My experience in social service has led me to believe that if you drop that pebble in the pond, which Greystone is, it's more like a boulder, you start creating ripples. Can you talk a little bit about what kind of ripple effects you have had on that community and on impacting poverty by your mere presence and the services you provide?
Sure. One of the problems that we've had over the years is that we've never actually tracked people when they have left Greystone. So what we call success is not always when someone gets their first job at Greystone, but we like to think success is actually when someone leaves Greystone for a job someplace else.
Interesting.
And quite honestly, we have not done a very good job of tracking that over the years because, as you can imagine, we have had probably hundreds, if not thousands, of people who have gone through Greystone Bakery and then left for employment elsewhere. So we're trying to do a better job of that right now. One of the ways we do quantify our impact, that we know that when you hire someone who was previously incarcerated, they are much less likely to go back to jail. And that we know that there is a cost for keeping someone in jail. Here in New York, in this area, it's about $50,000 a year. So for every two people we hire and who stay on with Grayston, we're saving the state about $50,000 a year. And given the amount of people that we hire who were previously incarcerated, we've actually added it up that we're saving the state almost $2 million every year just in the cost of incarceration.
And people who might not get jobs anywhere but pushing brooms, or it's even harder to get them in fast food places. Convicted felons, they might as well just throw them away.
Exactly. And then our goal really is for someone to stay with us for a certain amount of time or until they're ready to move on. We don't ever push anyone out. That's the idea of pathmaking. When they're ready to move on, we'll actually help our own employees try and find employment elsewhere, because that not only means that they're ready for more money and a different atmosphere to be successful in, but it opens up the door for someone next to come in behind them.
And it's so much more complicated than just getting a job. When you talk about family systems and multi-generations of poverty, there are so many things that have to be put in place to help even move the needle a little bit towards success. That's why I got so excited about reading what you're doing, because I know, because of my background, it's like, oh my gosh, they're covering the whole enchilada, which is one of my favorite expressions now since I moved here from New Jersey. What about focusing on eating healthy with the kids programs and stuff? It's, to me, obesity, we have so many things wrong in the country with childhood obesity and juvenile diabetes being at critical levels. Are you able, with all the other myriad of things you do, put any focus on eating healthy, which really does
Absolutely.
Matter?
So one of the ironies of what we do is because we do bake brownies, but we also have a thriving community gardens program. We actually just celebrated our 8th community garden here in Yonkers. It opened this summer in coordination with a school down the block from where our programs are. And we cultivate over 2 tons of fresh fruits and vegetables every year, which go back to and into the community. What's interesting about the area in which we serve is that it's a bit of a food desert. I don't know if your listeners know what that means, but a food desert is an area where there is not a lot of access to fresh food. In fact, there's only one supermarket for the entire downtown Yonkers area. And a lot of our community members are forced to buy food in bodegas and small stores that don't have access to fresh fruits and vegetables.
Not to mention the tour I took with Steve Ritz. My daughters were with me. We went down like 5 different blocks, and the only thing we saw, and I am not making this up, were fast food joints. I don't even call them restaurants. They're not restaurants. Fast food joints. The options for eating, there was no mom and pop, no healthy little hole in the wall.
Absolutely.
We went slowly and, you know, very intentionally. So that adds to me the concept of the food desert. You have fast food. Grocery
Absolutely.
Stores don't have fast food. So that's unbelievable. 8
community gardens,
you said?
And we have 8 community gardens. Each one has 40 to 50. Some have 60 or 70 plots in it. Each plot is a responsibility of a member of the community, and they take the responsibilities very seriously. They cultivate their plots, and then in the fall we have several events, including kind of a stone soup event, where people gather together and they bring all what they've cultivated and what they've harvested to a community event. They learn how to eat healthier. We have programs for the kids in the community so they understand where fresh food comes from. They learn how to eat fresh food and to be exposed to it. It's a program that goes year-round into the winter, where we take the program into the schools. And it's proven to be, you know, one of our most successful and community-facing programs that we do.
And don't be surprised if one time you hear a little tap on the shoulder and turn around, there's little Mrs. Green saying, "Jonathan, I made it because I put it on my bucket list." Those are the
That's
kinds
great.
Of things that juice me up and get me to go 6 more months when I'm, you know, worried about fracking and the Keystone Pipeline and all these other, the acceleration of climate change. I hear about programs like this, and gardening, community gardening, is so rich with other experiences that are not just related to growing food. It's so therapeutic on so many levels.
That's very true.
Connecting generations and all that. So that's another high thing. And it's an emphasis on educating. Lots of the STEM courses now are incorporating growing food for how to teach STEM. It's great. Okay, what about, let's talk a little bit about the products, because we have time and there's other things I want to talk about, but I don't want the show to go away without talking about the kind of products, and give us a little bit of an idea of what you bake and sell.
So we are best known for the brownies in Ben and Jerry's ice cream. So when you buy chocolate fudge brownie ice cream, those brownies are made here in Yonkers, lovingly by our bakers, and they do an incredible job. They turn about 35 to 40,000 pounds of brownies out a day, working
wow.
5 days a week. And
eat
addition,
healthy? I would weigh 400 pounds.
Oh, my gosh. They are really good.
I would
good.
Be a brownie.
Okay. I have to tell you, they are really good. And I've been here 7 years, and I have not tired of them. In addition, though, we make we have a terrific partnership, again, with Whole Foods. And we make a different kind of brownie, one that we've worked on with them, for sales throughout all of their stores in the United States. And we make a series of brownies and cookies that are sold in Whole Foods department stores.
All over the country or just locally?
All over the country.
Oh.
So you can go in, and that's a co-branded product with Whole Foods. And it the sales of that product actually benefit the Whole Planet's Foundation, which is Whole Foods' effort to alleviate poverty around the world by subsidizing on small basis projects that people can do in their own communities around the world.
And did they just say Grayston Brownies?
They're actually called the Grace. They are Grayston Brownies, but they also have the Whole Planet logo on them.
Okay.
And anyone who goes into Whole Foods can just ask for them.
Right.
And they can be shown where they are.
Oh, my gosh.
But that's a terrific partnership, because that not only sells our product, but it also raises money for a really good and important cause that Whole Foods is very active behind.
And I just have to ask, is that something that you pursued, or did they come find you? How did that magic happen? It's hard to get in Whole Foods.
That's an excellent question that I'm not sure I have the answer for. I think that we've run into each other for many, many years at many different events.
Right.
And I think it was similar to that, you know, we both are kind of doing the same thing. We really should be doing it together. How do we figure out how to do that? The management of Whole Foods has been terrific and supportive of who we are as an organization. And I think it just came together over time.
It's great. I mean, and it's like the Holy Grail when people get in Whole Foods. Let's be honest. It's really great.
It's a terrific, terrific grocery
it
store.
It really is.
Changing
okay.
the way a lot of us eat
yes.
and have access to those kinds of foods.
And they support organizations like yours that then can do it to scale. Plus, our Whole Foods down the corner from us, I think the last time I checked, they had like 76 local vendors that
That's
were providing
yeah, they're
food.
Very, very supportive yes. of local vendors, which is a great, great
yes, yes, yes.
way to shop. We're thrilled to be in business. And the other piece, just to before I forget, is, of course, you know, I had mentioned earlier, is this direct-to-consumer. We are the best product that you can do to send to a friend. We make great college gifts. We make great seasonal gifts at year-end. We do a huge, huge fourth-quarter business with businesses using our products to make their season-ending gifts.
Back-to-school gifts.
Back-to-school. You can think of lots of ways to give out Grayston Brownies. And then they can be sent within 2 days to really anywhere in the United States.
And I'm just saying that Mr. and Mrs. Green have their 40th anniversary on August 12th, so that's a great opportunity for gifting.
That sounds good to me.
I am so shameless, and I will get these brownies. I will order these brownies. I'd like to shift now to a little bit more serious topic, but so very, very important. Everybody, it's Grayston.com. It's like Greystone without an E, Greyston.com. And I invite all of you to take some time, instead of Facebooking at night, go on an important website like this and go down the Grayston rabbit hole and learn some things. Because one of the things that I loved is about join the movement. Today, the momentum behind socially minded and sustainable business practices is incredibly strong. And how I want to press pause there is it's one of the few things that's giving me hope. I think that this is really true and that the groundwork and with people that are investing, really intentional investing is important. There are organizations, and I learned about this at SVN, that are looking people with means to invite proposals to them to fund things like this so that they can really invest in really good social enterprises. So what's your spin on that, and how could someone get involved with Greyston efforts?
Well, our Join the Movement is specifically around the idea that while we are a business in many ways, we are still also a nonprofit. So we actually ask people who want to be involved with us but may not necessarily live near us but have heard of us and want to do something in their own community to help support the work that we do. So it's an opportunity for people to do that. And we've had people from all over the country who, you know, want to race in a foot race but use that as an opportunity to raise money for Greyston, or they want to sell lemonade, or in fact some people sell our brownies as fundraisers. So there are lots of ways to get involved. But there are also a whole bunch of links on our website to other organizations that do work similar to ours. And it's an opportunity to go on and take a look at some of those links at Greyston.org or Greyston.com and be exposed to other people that are doing great work around the country. Specifically, I'd call out, you had mentioned earlier, we were one of the first B corporations in New York State.
Right.
It's a growing movement to have companies reestablish themselves as B corporations, showing that they have made a commitment to something more than just profit as their bottom line.
And I don't remember in my many years on this earth that I have had guests, this is our eighth year, where there was actually a very conscious naming of other organizations that you might want to consider supporting. And I can tell you why I think that's important, because you're saying if we're not a fit for you, there's a lot of good to be done out there. Check some of these places out, and it might be a better fit. Is that accurate?
That is absolutely. The idea of path making for us is not just for an individual, but it's for a community. It's for all people. So it's really, we want people to be able to find their place, whether it's helping Greyston or helping another organization, but go out and be involved and take a stand in your own community and become active.
You know, it's another thing that I loved about the website is if you look at it, it very clearly wants you to have a brownie, by the way. Did I mention that? It then mentions how it shows how a map, literally how you're mapping out a community that cares, where strategic placement of childcare, housing, where things are, where the bakery is, where one-third of the residents live in poverty. So you get a really pretty, one-shot look at what they're doing and how it's creating a community and hopefully an ever-extending community. And then I died when I saw the hashtag eat more dessert. I'm going to use that when we do. I'm going to tell my social media person to eat more dessert. In about 2 minutes, we're going to have to take another break. There's still more to talk about because we really didn't talk all about the brownies. And I think it'd be fun to talk about Dion. I mean, I wish I could play that
Dion
video.
Dion's an extraordinary.
Seriously.
We'll talk about that when we come back.
I would love to have that on. And it's a really uplifting video. And I'm encouraging people to not be in such a big hurry these days. And somebody will tell me they spend an hour and a half on Facebook. And I'm like, why don't you spend 20 minutes watching this really cool video I saw last night and stay off Facebook, although it has its place. Eat more dessert is one of your hashtags, and hashtag change more lives. So anyway, I will. Can you get one here to us by tomorrow? I'm just kidding. Okay, everybody, stay with us. We have 1 minute till the break, and in case you just joined us, we are having a delightful, fun, informative, and very intentional conversation with Jonathan Greengrass, who is the Vice President of Development and PR for Greyston. They are the country's leading social enterprise since 1982, and basically brownies, people, profit, planet. It's the core of what they do, and they use it to make so many more changes, use it as ways to teach people how to do things and create communities that are filled with hope and change. So everybody, stay here with us. There's really more good stuff. We'll hear about the products and about Dion. Short break, right back.
Mrs. Green's World's mission is to preserve the planet by creating a global community of people who care about the health of the Earth. We educate, inform, and inspire. Mrs. Green's World is an independent, non-political, agenda-free voice. Your generous gift enables all of us to explore the issues facing the health of the planet in a comprehensive way. As a Mrs. Green's World sustainer, you can assist us in offering trusted information, providing listeners with the tools to make their own conclusions and choose their own steps to create a healthier planet. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and click on Become a Member today.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And even though you might have been thinking you're having fun, I invite you to think about all the intentional conversations that we've had with our guest, Jonathan Greengrass, the Vice President of Development and PR for Greystone. I am getting a little bit of feedback, so I'll have to get a bit back from the mic. So, Jonathan, thank you. I hope you're having as much fun as I am in telling the story.
I am. You're terrific.
Like, it's just really so, you can hear it in my voice. I'm not very good at hiding things, as transparent as they get. And I'm thrilled about this company, about the difference you're making, and all of the many components that you have incorporated in it to ensure the success of the people that come to your door. So inspire me by Dion's story. How could anybody look at that and not grin through the whole thing?
That is a great example of the impact of Greyston. Dion is truly an extraordinary person, but what's really interesting, and I really would encourage people, there are two ways to see Dion's story. You can go to our website and see a story that was done on him several years ago where we actually interviewed him internally, but more recently Upworthy featured Dion on their Facebook account, and that's actually approaching now almost 1 million views of people who have seen Dion's story. And Dion's a great speaker and a great story, and he talks about how he was incarcerated. He knew about Greyston, had lived in this neighborhood his whole life, and had gone down and made some bad choices because that's what he felt were all that was available to him, and was in jail and came out. And the only reason I'm comfortable saying this is because he is. Otherwise, I would not break that confidentiality.
Right.
But Dion clearly talks about that and came out and put his name down on Greyston and was hired through our open hiring policy, and has now been there close to six and a half years, and was recently promoted. He is now our head trainer, which is, you know, just an extraordinary, he just come up through the ranks, proving himself over and over again, not only through his work ethic in the bakery, but through his ability to tell his story and to be open about telling his story and serving as an example and a role model for others who come after him and others in the community. He now walks proudly through the community, and people know him through the videos and through websites and through social media, but also through his work at Greyston. And a truly inspiring man and an inspiring story. I feel lucky to know him.
And if you watch that video, I mean, you are just in. You are just in. It just grabs your heart. And I guess when you talk about all of the things you incorporate, as you're not even an employer, I don't even like to use that word, you're a partner with the people you hire. It's all about oneness, that whole wholeness concept of...
It's a holistic way of working with people, absolutely.
Really and truly. I mean, it's It's body, heart, mind, spirit, self. I mean, it's just really good. And he brings that out in you. It's so clear. This has been transformative for him. I think he said in the video he now has his own children. I mean, it's a whole new world for him. It's so inspiring.
Exactly right.
It's really so inspiring. Okay, so here's one from out of the blue. What's your favorite product?
My favorite product is the Blondie.
Okay.
Which is a type of brownie, but it's made with brown sugar and chocolate chips.
I know Blondies.
And is just extraordinary. It's also my children's favorite product.
Oh, my gosh. The Blondie. Good. I mean, just people can't go on that and read about it and then not order
some stuff. That's what we hope.
You can tell I lost my train of thought because I'm on the page that has the brownies.
Okay. That's a good place to be.
What about some of the, I guess I want to bring up a little bit, it's not a total Pollyanna story. There are hard times, I'm sure. Are some of your biggest challenges having enough money to serve the clients? Are some of the challenges having enough skilled people to be able to serve them, which is a lot? At-risk families?
Sure. I think, Grayson, like every nonprofit, is struggling with, you know, the idea of funding and being able to serve the population that you want to serve and with the amount of people that you need to be successful. Government funding has been cut back. We've had some serious cutbacks here in New York. We've had federal funding that has kicked away. We've made mistakes over the years. We've learned from them. I think it's one of the reasons we want to share what we do and how we're successful with the others so that we can help other people avoid those kind of pitfalls that Grayson has experienced in the past. But we're also willing to take chances. We've opened new stores. We opened a bakery, a retail cafe many, many years ago and closed it 6 years later because it wasn't successful.
It's hard.
It is very hard, but we really believe in that entrepreneurial model that to be successful, there need to be alternate ways to find funding. And we can't just be dependent on the government or on individuals, although that is a major piece of what we do. And we have funders from all over the world who go to Grayson.org and click on our Donate Now button and become part of the Grayson family.
And I always encourage people, because we have a sustainers model, I don't care if it's $5 a month or $1 a month or $10 a month, it all adds up. So give it the level at which you can afford and become a part of moving this whole big mission forward.
That's very well said.
You don't have to say, oh, well, I don't have $1,000 to give. Well, if 10 people all gave $100,
exactly right,
we're good. I want to talk a little bit. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
I think it's really fair to bring this up about what's going on in the country. There's a lot about the hashtag Black Lives Matter. Unspeakable actions on the part of law enforcement. I personally am in a self-induced news blackout for a bit because I'm doing enough that I can without that shutting me down. When something does happen in a community, or have you experienced it? I've seen it with Ferguson and some of the other communities that have been very, very seriously affected. The leadership and organizations like yours have actually been instrumental in bringing the communities together to find workable solutions and appropriate social actions. Is that something that you have had to take on or that would take on?
So for those people who know Yonkers, Yonkers has a long and kind of troubled history with relations between white people and people of color. But I think that's gotten significantly better. Recently, we have not luckily had the kinds of issues that we have seen elsewhere in the country. And we work at Grayson very specifically and intentionally in the community. So when decisions are made about new programs or things, they're made with community members so that everybody is a part of the answer and that decisions aren't being made for people. We have not, very luckily had to deal with some of those issues.
But it's probably, I mean, the first part of your answer was very telling. You have a presence there, and progress has already been made. I mean,
I think that's true, and I think, you know,
prevention.
I can't believe that Grayson was the reason behind that, but I'd like to think it was part of it.
It's really a part of it. There's no doubt in my mind. What about, does it happen that people that come in the open hiring process, and they do the bakery thing for a while, and they decide that they would actually like to be in your workforce development part. Are there avenues and ways for them to move into different parts of the organizations in Greyston?
That happens all the time, actually. And that's one of the reasons I think that people like the program, that there's opportunities to be successful and be open to lots of different avenues for success. So the workforce development program takes people from Greyston, but it also takes people from the community. We specifically have programs for young adults, and we first target people who are in school and people who are out of school for that program. We first target the family members of people in Greyston so that we can make sure that we're providing support services for entire families, not just an individual, with the goal of what you want to lift an entire family out of poverty. So we have a whole array of programs that are available to everyone.
It's just so complicated. I remember in Arizona, I was working on legislation for welfare reform. And I would go up to the legislature and they'd say, they need to get a job. And I would say, well, they live in Elfrida, this population you're talking about, and it's 60 miles from Tucson. There's no public transportation and there are no jobs. That's where they live. How do we help make that happen?
Right. Public transportation is
honestly
a big issue, actually.
It's like, come on, dudes. You have no idea what it's like to live in Elfrida and want to get a job. I don't either. So we really implemented very creative things with car dealerships so that these people could get cars to drive to Tucson to come to work. But that's the integrated approach. And I want to go back to something we said in the beginning. We don't really have a lot of time left, but there's a couple of things I want to make sure we cover. Who thought of the expression? Because, I mean, when I came up with, we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to, after a very, very stressful team visioning session, like, what do you want to say, Gina? What do you want the show to be about? I don't want to tell people what to think. I just want them to think. And our strategic director said, okay, we're done. Where's the champagne? But anyway, we don't hire people to bake brownies. We bake brownies to hire people. I'm fixated with that. Do you know who came up with that? Was it Bernie?
Don't know the original origin of the story. We believe it was a previous president of the bakery.
It's the best.
Who came up with it. Yeah, it's very simple and eloquent, but yet it tells the entire story.
It really does tell the entire story. Do you have a favorite story or something that you got to experience that really touched you, your heart personally? I like
the things that Well, Dion, for one, has been, to see Dion kind of come alive over the last couple of years as we've helped him, and the interest from the media in Greyston has grown. We needed to put a face on that, and watching Dion tell his story every time. I mean, I don't not cry every single time that he talks.
I love it. It's the world needs more crying.
Kind of amazing. I feel very lucky in some ways that I get to be in a job where I can't do the kind of case management that many of our staff do, and they do an incredible job at it. I feel very lucky to be able to be the person that provides attention for them and funding for them and bringing those kinds of resources to bear. But the things that particularly make me warm and fuzzy are, for example, we just recently had a graduation from our workforce development program, 50, 60 young adults who otherwise would not have had employment opportunities and are now going on and being placed in jobs throughout Westchester County and Yonkers. And to watch them get up in front of their family and receive a certificate, and we had our local, state assembly person there and someone from the mayor's office, and the pride that you see on people's face, that's the kind of thing that recharges my spiritual batteries and keeps me going.
I don't cry a lot on the show, but if there was the video on, it's like tears of joy. It's unbelievable. Really and truly touches my heart. I'm so proud that we got to have you on the show. And I want to talk about one of the very important pages on your website. We've referred to it already. Join the movement, because there are other ways to get involved with Greyston. And if you don't mind, I think we should just go through them. You do offer tours. So if I come, I can come in.
Yes, we offer tours of the bakery. For the public, they're open twice a month. And there's information on that on the site. And you can sign up ahead of time. We like to get people to sign up ahead of time because we don't want to disrupt production, and we do get a lot of requests for tours. Specifically, our tours, you know, hopefully get people excited about who we are as an organization and ultimately turn them into donors.
Right. Into great Estonians.
That is really the thrust of what we do. Yes.
I hope so, too. I hope I'm manifesting another trip back to New York, so this will be very high on my list. Very high. And then the other thing that people might not thinking about, we have scientists and corporate leaders and moms who run PTAs, invite a member of Greyston to come speak at an event. There's nothing
Absolutely.
More strength building than to have someone like a Dion have the camera put on him as an example for what success looks like. So think about putting that in your planning to bring someone to an event.
That sounds great. That's mostly local, but the president of Greyston, Mike Brady, does travel around the country for appropriate opportunities and is available for some things.
Probably Social Venture Network. I'm going to look for him
if
I get to go in November. And then there's, quickly I'll go over it. I mean, help support the idea of social enterprises and spread the word about the business model. That's really good. You can be sure I'm doing it. And then don't forget, buy brownies for yourself, your loved ones. This is, to me, the holy grail because it's guilt-free brownies. These brownies will not make you gain weight. I'm sure of it.
I can't say that, but I appreciate your saying that claim.
And who wouldn't want to buy some Ben & Jerry's chocolate fudge brownie ice cream? I'm so glad you didn't say Chunky Monkey because that's not my favorite. Chocolate fudge brownie clearly is your favorite.
Clearly from now on.
Is my favorite. And sign up for the newsletter. I mean, it's a great way. I am shocked at our newsletter that we still have a 15 to 18% open rate. There are people out there that still want to read the newsletter.
Yes.
So I just want to thank you and everybody there for what you've done. And I wanted to ask one last question. I think we have about 4 minutes left. Since you've been in the job and in your position, assess social media for me. Is it helping you with getting the word out? Is it just numbers? Is engagement? What's your assessment of the very exhausting, hungry monster that constantly needs to be fed?
Well, we have a very active Facebook page and very active Twitter feed, and we have a terrific and incredibly talented young woman who manages both of those, and we think that it's an important part of the future for us, and we feel that the more opportunities we have to be on shows like yours where people can hear about us and then go to our social media page on Facebook and like Greyston Bakery and go to our website, Greyston.org or Greyston.com to visit us and learn more about us and sign up for the newsletter or buy brownies or make a donation, that all adds up over time and builds, and hopefully at some point will be so large that, you know, we'll have to bring on other people to help work on it.
I know. I'll be right there. The thing that I want to say to people is just do something. When you hear a show like this, don't put it on your list. Go to their website, and all you have to do is like say, okay, I can't give any money right now. I'm signing up for their newsletter. Or
Perfect.
My kids are starting school. I'd love to buy them brownies that are good for the body, mind, spirit, heart, and soul. And helping somebody really employed, it's not that disconnected. It's almost like know your farmer, know your baker. If you're on Facebook, follow them on Facebook. Follow them on Twitter. Everybody I know is on Facebook. It drives me crazy how many times people say to me, did you know so-and-so was going on a trip? How would I know that? Oh, it was on Facebook. So people are on Facebook. So, Jonathan, I really hope that you will tell that social media Cracker Jack we are big fans and that she spreads the word about the show and that it'll be listened to in schools and that lots of moms will listen to it, people that do purchasing, and that we help get your message out to the... We have thousands of listeners now all over the world. So it makes me happy. We're placed in a lot of markets, some of them very close to you. So thank you. That was my deep...
Sounds great.
Thank you. And I want to tell everybody, we have a Down to Earth show, the best of. Chris Schmidt from Native Seed Search, great show. And on August 8th, get ready to cry. I'm not kidding. Especially with what happened to the lion this week. William and Daniel Clark, Tears in the Jungle, and about their efforts to save animals from becoming extinct. It could not be more timely. And everybody, don't forget about supporting Mrs. Green's World. You can become a sustainer for as little as $8 a month, and we need your help. Jonathan, keep up the good work and give my special love to everybody there who will accept it. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on.
Make it a great green week.